A couple things. One, I'm really thankful for guys like Mr. Schaefer that can actually sing, that can actually, I sing, I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm thankful for a guy that can actually come, you know, it sounds like the way it's supposed to sound when he comes out. It's that's good singing tonight, man. It really was. I enjoyed it. And secondly, the reality of it is, guys, the devil is real. And in case you haven't recognized this, the work that we're doing here, we are on the devil's radar. He notices us. He is starting to run a little bit scared. So the devil is coming after people wherever he can. Wherever there are those chinks in the armor, he's directing his attacks that way. And so we need to uphold each other with prayer. And I also want to encourage us. Appreciative to see everybody here tonight. I know a few families are out of town. I see a bunch of you guys made it tonight, and that's great. But I want to encourage you guys to encourage our brethren to be here. Because I think Wednesday nights, for me, there's nothing more that I can get than what I get from the Lord's Supper. You know, on the first day of the week. But Wednesday nights are really valuable to me personally for another reason. I get more out of doing a Bible study where I have to prepare and think about questions and answers, and I have to field questions, and I get to hear your guys' comments. I learn more in that setting than I do preparing a message and preaching it. And my guess is that most of us, if we're participants in this, does this sound a little loud to anybody else? Sound a little loud to me, but maybe it's just me. I mean, I'm just being loud. My guess is that actually most of us get a little bit more out of an actual interactive Bible study where we slow down and think our way through stuff than just hearing my top 3 points or whatever that I'm preaching, okay, on a particular Lord's Day. And so I think this is a good opportunity, brethren. We know that it is the Word of God that's able to save our souls. And so, and this is a part of the armor that we got to put on. And so recognizing the devil's out there, that he's working hard, I want to encourage you guys to make a commitment to be here. And whether or not you think you need it, maybe you already know all this stuff, but your brother or sister needs you to be here because some of them need this. Their soul is on the line. And they don't get this if they don't make a commitment to get in and be a part of the body and start working that teamwork. They're not going to make it to heaven. And so they need you, and they need me, even if they're not here. We're setting a tone, we're setting an example for them. And so I want to encourage you guys that way to help me continue to set that example. All right, we're in 2 John tonight. Hopefully everybody got their handouts that they needed. We're going to go ahead and do a quick read through 2 John. It's another one of these short guys. We can afford to do that. So, beginning in verse 1, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver in the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. All right. pretty short, but lots of good stuff in there. Question, right off the bat, what is the setting? What is it that prompted John to write? Now, this question isn't a question that I wrote down. This is a question that Reese Thomas had there. Well, I was working through the questions. I didn't answer this one first. I actually answered some other ones that were a little easier for me. That's what I had to think about this. What did prompt John to write? Michael.
Because he heard the murdered children were God's.
Exactly. He heard this chosen lady and her children were godly and walking in the truth. And somebody was coming to try and create some problems there, weren't they? Hey, Clint.
I was just going to say that the verse 7 through 10, there's some evil teachers that are going around, some false gospels that are going around there, and it sounds like it's a warning that beware of what's going on. I mean, don't accept them, you have someone to
grieve. Yep.
Yeah,
I think it's twofold. I think it's encouragement and a warning. So that's what I came to, actually, is basically both thoughts you guys are working on. Verse 2 and verse 8 are the two that I keyed in on, actually, there, in my answers. Verse 2 is the part Michael was working on. Verse 8 is the part Clint was working on. Those are the two things I came up with, the why that he wrote this. This letter was written by John for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. He had heard and he was glad to hear that there were some of those who were walking in the truth. But guys, something you want to remember. Making a commitment to the truth is not a one-time decision. Making a commitment to the truth is a daily commitment, isn't it? Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. See, it will be with us forever if we keep a commitment to it. Truth is something that's got to be continually fought for. It's got to be something that we got to continually guard. I had remembered a quotation from Winston Churchill. And when I went to look it up, it actually came out a little different when I looked it up and did the research on it than the way I remembered it. I thought Winston Churchill had said something to the effect that truth is so valuable that many times it's can't think of the right word here, but it's covered, it's surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. I thought that's true. You have to fight through a lot of lies usually to find the truth. But when I went and actually looked at what Winston Churchill said, he said in wartime, truth is so precious it should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies. That doesn't surprise me. A politician. Winston Churchill. I think actually this statement sums up the world's willing perversion of truth in order to arrive or push their own agenda. A lot of lies. They are out there everywhere. Guys, we know that the devil is the father. He's a liar from the beginning, and he is the father of lies. The devil is at work in this world, and his primary means is deception. Working on that all the time. Out in the world, it's everywhere. But you think the devil is interested in creating problems in here? This is where he got those guys, doesn't he? This is the battleground that we've gained that he wants back. We're going to fight hard in that arena. And so we got to be ready. We got to have a constant and eternal vigilance in guarding the truth. Anybody tell me what Proverbs 23, verse 23 says? I know Mike Ferguson knows this if he can get going. Buy truth and do not sell it, right? Buy truth. Do not sell. Whatever it takes to get to the truth, guys, get to the truth and do not let it go under any conditions. To me, it's a little bit reminds me of the Old Testament when God gave an inheritance to the families, to the tribes and to the families. And one of the things that God said is, you don't move these ancient boundaries. You don't sell that inheritance. That inheritance I have given to you. You hang on to that. Because we're equal heirs, aren't we? Part of our inheritance is the truth God's given to us. Under no conditions are we to ever trade away the truth. I think if we're honest about it, love of the truth is where every one of us started from. That's why we're here. There are a lot of mistakes we've made. There's probably a bunch of sins that most of us have committed since we've been a Christian. But what is it that's kept us moving forward and been able to overcome and fight our way through and not give up along the way? It is a love and a commitment to the truth that does not change regardless of any failures that we may have had or that others that we've looked up to may have had. It's a fight. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes we can think about other people and be discouraged by the things that they do or don't do. And I've heard people actually go through that because of so-and-so or because of so-and-so, I'm not in the church anymore. I don't buy it, guys. Now, I'm not saying, hey, I'm not saying that isn't a struggle and that's not a fight, but I'm saying for every one of us, what's our commitment to? Jesus Christ, who is the truth. See, a question I have to ask myself sometimes if I start getting a little bit of that attitude about somebody, how's Jesus treated me lately? Jesus always treats me perfectly. Doesn't mean He's always easy on me. But He treats me perfectly. And even when Jesus is allowing imperfect people to perfect me, that's still good for me. But I'm committed to truth. And every one of us has to be. There is deception that comes. There's all sorts of things the devil throws out there. There's temptations. There's trials. There's pleasures of this life. There's tribulations of this life. There's hardships. That whatever your particular, wherever your that chink in your armor is, you better believe that's what the devil's going to put in your way. Mike, do you remember how Steve Doty says that he knows our weaknesses and tests our faith or something? Is that what he says? The devil knows our weaknesses and he tests our faith. Yeah, he knows our buttons. How do you think the devil knows our weaknesses? Does he have some sort of extra spiritual insight? No, but he can watch a track record, can't he? Oh, that one worked before. I'll try that one again. That's the guy we're dealing with here. And he is a supernatural evil. So we got to be first and foremost committed to the truth, no matter what. Buy truth and do not sell it. Mike? Amen.
And every other form of religion out there at some point becomes experiential on some level. There's a situation that you don't believe that humanism is true, that quote unquote religious world, and that guy is not about truth, it's about what's right in this situation. But I can say this individual can change it this way.
Yep. Yep. It's nice to have something that's not shifting. It's nice to have something that's constant, and truth is constant by nature. It's not dependent on experience or feelings or anything else. Mr. Hopper.
And no one's schemes.
Yep, we don't want to be ignorant of the devil's schemes, do we? Because they're out there. He's coming. They're deceptive. We gotta be aware of them. That word shows up quite a bit in the scripture. Beware, Mr. Schaefer.
Two things. Number one, I can't help but think of in our immediate context, the verses 7 through 10, specifically 8 through 10, about watching not to lose it, and if anybody goes too far, etc., etc.
Yep.
I can't help but think of false religion that we see all around us.
Yep.
That they take that kernel of truth, and they, like you quoted from Churchill, they surround it with lies.
Yep.
Because then they're able to control it that way. And it becomes something that they can lord over the others. Not necessarily in an overt way, but they always have to be the ones to come back to the answer. Because if the truth is always shifting, then who has the power?
Right.
The person with whom the truth, quote unquote, resides.
Exactly. That's a good point.
And the second thing that I always find really interesting about this kind of stuff is that it gets back to what Mike was saying about humanism and about the way that I actually had a guy, this is what triggered my thought process. I actually had a guy tell me today that's a pretty, he goes to Faith Chapel, and he's a pretty well-known guy in the community, and him and I were chatting a little bit about Christianity, basically. I was chatting about Christianity. And he was telling me, like, yeah, we got to be all things to all men. And so, you know, if I got to go down and if I got to swear and I'm around people that's what their language is, man, I'm going to be just like him. So I listen to this guy talk. I mean, I just have to let him get on, you know. And I got to go down and drink those guys to help bring him up. I'm thinking when he was done, I was like, well, that's certainly a strange aspect on the truth.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And then we had a little meeting. So I was like,
yeah,
that's... But the thing is that's the attitude that people have.
Yep.
I mean, how
that's a, and
you prefer they not say anything.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And we recognize, I mean, that really is the same concept here that the Gnostics wanted to do, you know. We're in the flesh, we're gonna sin, so now we'll kind of use that though as an excuse as how we're getting other people. Let's be honest about that. In that kind of framework, in that kind of setting, who's influencing who? Yeah. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I think so. Mike, you have something else?
Yeah, I understand what James is saying. That's why the truth is so important to us and to those that seek God. Is when the devil deceives us or anyone, you know, that apple was a good-looking apple. And it was not, that thing was
not. Mr. Hopper says it was desirable, right? Desirable and delightful. Desirable and delightful, which is what Scripture says there.
So, somebody could hear what that man was saying and say, yeah, that's true. But if they don't know the truth, if they don't know what Scripture says, they know parts of it, they might say, that's a good way of approaching it. Truth is what gives us the ability to divide what's real and what's not.
Yep.
That apple on the inside was full of corruption and deceit and everything else.
Yep.
It looked like the real thing. Not that the devil presents everything that's accepting it, it's real close to the right.
Yep. That's very good point. And so we got to know the truth, guys. We got to be committed to that. So we're going to move on here. If we're going to get through the rest of it, I think we're committed to this. It's true. I mean, John also wrote telling the Christians to watch yourselves that you might not lose what we've accomplished. That's actually a really key phrase. It's a similar phrase in the book of Revelation. Hold fast what you have. Every inch of ground that we get personally and working from and collectively as of the Lord's church, every inch of ground we get, we have to fight for that. When you get the high ground in battle, you never give it back. We do not want to lose what we've accomplished. Not going to give that back. No way. I tell myself sometimes, no easy outs. Nothing easy. We're going to get this, and we're going to hold it, and we're going to hang on to it. It is. It's a fight. It's a spiritual tug-of-war contest. And you get that one step this way, that thing coming this way, you cannot give that step back. We don't want to lose what we've accomplished. We want to receive a full reward. Amen? So, there was this deceiving doctrine of the Antichrist. The Gnostic heresy was designed through a false justification of sin to pull people away from the truth. We spent all the First John talking about that. Anybody here that's capable of giving me a really quick summary of Gnosticism, like two or three sentences? Anybody think they can pull that off? Clint, go for it.
Christ came in the spirit, not in the flesh, and therefore he is capable of not sin.
Exactly. And the follow-up is, we're not capable because we're in the flesh. So, okay, that's a bunch of baloney, and it's designed to be an excuse for Christians to sin. Okay? So, we know that's not true. We're committed to truth. To whom is this letter addressed? Okay, this letter is addressed to the lady and her children. My opinion on this, guys, I think this is written to a congregation. I don't think it's just a lady with some kids. I think it's a congregation. And I think the last verse actually points to that too. The children of your chosen sister greet you. I think we're talking about two congregations here. But this is particularly, this is talking about the church, and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this, but the church is continually described throughout the New Testament as a woman, isn't she? Specifically as the bride of Jesus Christ. I got a bunch of scripture references for you there. The chosen lady seems to be a particular congregation in which John had served as an elder. Anybody? I had to think my way through this a little bit. Ephesus is where John was. It looks like scripture doesn't tell us, okay? But it looks like historically Ephesus is where John spent a lot of the latter portion of his life. And so my guess is Ephesus. That's my guess. Okay? We don't know if Scripture doesn't say. Alright? Is Antichrist mentioned elsewhere? We all know this. We just went through 1 John, right? It's mentioned in 1 John. A few times in 1 John. Nowhere else though in the Scriptures. Okay? A lot of people think Revelation mentions Antichrist. Doesn't use that terminology. Okay? A bunch of people try to make that beast of Revelation 13 number 666, the Antichrist. Well, I think sinners, for sure. Okay? But that terminology isn't used anywhere else other than 1 John, and we saw that it is defined here. The Antichrist is defined here. I think Clint mentioned that, or Jared, I can't remember who. But denying that Jesus came in the flesh. Why would someone say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh? Jeremy. Exactly. What'd you say? Might as well quit now. I'm with you, Michael. What are we doing then? But you know what? That's where most church people are at, aren't they? They're going through the motions. They go to church, salve their conscience, and go on their way, continue to live like a bunch of sinners. And they even preach it, we're just a bunch of sinners. Some go so far as to say, this church is full of hypocrites. There's room for more. Come on down and join us for the Sunday Sinner Social Club. Okay? That's basically what they've done. We might as well quit now. And so we might go through the motions, maybe even look like we're trying a little bit. That's about the extent of it. Mike?
That leads to faith, righteousness, or the words of Scripture, a form of God.
Yep.
That's what it leads to. It's all about how do you live when you're in front of other people.
Yep. And one thing I'll throw out there on that, Mike makes a good point, a form of holding to a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. Some of these guys are really good at looking good. So sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, some of these denominational people are more righteous than Christians. That's impossible. They don't have better character. Now, some of them have some better habits sometimes, and that's a shame to us. Hey, we need to get some of those habits in place. But they're rotten from the inside out. Okay? And part of their game is putting on the show to look good. So don't get confused with outward show and real righteousness. The Pharisees put on a pretty good show, didn't they? They even said a lot of the right things. Jesus said, all they tell you, do and observe, but just don't do what they actually do. Clint.
I was just going to say they wear nice clothes and they have fancy looking
books. Yep. Fancy looking books and lots of times fancy looking cars too, but that's another story. Sure.
I can't help but not point out. Again, I was at Sam's Club a week ago, and I'm a hypocrite shirts. Saw some kids coming from a camp that had that on the back of it, that had the church and then the summer camp, and on the front it said hypocrite and training.
Ouch.
Talk about fruit.
Yeah.
Talk about rotten fruit from rotten trees.
Wow.
They're training the hypocrites.
That is.
Talk about a mentality. I thought, and on the outside, these people look really good. I mean, you know. I was flabbergasted.
It's just really hard for me to believe, to want. I mean, I don't even understand the marketing. The very first thing I think is that these guys read the Bible. They read the Gospels even. Because, man, Jesus is tough on the hypocrites, isn't he? So, I mean, it's like that's the way you want to identify yourself? That's weird to me. But, Jeremy. That's true.
So, yeah, I was there too.
Yeah.
What you're really doing, I mean, giving hearty approval. That's the other scripture.
That's a good point,
so,
Jeremy.
You know, we're marketing righteousness, but sooner or later, we can get with it.
Yep.
So, I mean, sooner or later, you get on right after that.
Right. And I want to be careful on this point. I don't think anybody here misunderstands, but in case we do go to sinners. Jesus did. But Jesus called sinners to repentance. He showed them the way, didn't he? The footprints of, or footsteps of Jesus, however that, whatever the name of that song is that I picked. I love that song because Jesus did leave an example for us to follow in his steps. Jesus did say, come on, follow me. Leave your places, tax gatherer, right? Follow me. That's special for Hop. But whatever it may be, right? Leave that. Sell all the stuff, sell all that junk. Give it to charity and come on. In case you think that I'm interested in your junk, don't even give it to me. You give it to somebody else and you come and you follow me. That's what Jesus made. That's what he's interested in. He has those footprints and they do lead. They'll lead us to glory. And so the Lord wants us to walk that way. All right, I'm getting a little fired up here. See, the doctrine that Jesus did become flesh, that's a foundational teaching throughout the entire Bible, isn't it? Old Testament, those prophecies. He's going to be a descendant of Abraham. This Messiah is going to come, he's going to be a descendant of Abraham. He's going to be the seed of David. We're talking about physical lineage, aren't we? You guys can check it out. I have the verses there. I know you know this. But more than that, there's multiple prophecies in the Old Testament of the incarnation of God. This isn't just going to be a man who comes. It's interesting. I know Brother Clint's been trying to work on a Jewish buddy. And one of the real problems here is these guys want a physical guy who's going to carry out all this physical stuff. And they think of Jesus, honestly, as a false prophet because he didn't carry out all the physical things that they were intending him to. But Jesus did physically come. And there's actually a reason, guys, that we have Matthew's genealogical account and Luke's genealogical account. Because Joseph wasn't Jesus' real dad, was he? But Mary was his real mom. In both of those ways, that comes back to David. Yes, Michael.
Well, if he wasn't here, who's the Abraham
from? Right. Yeah, exactly.
And they
yep. And Michael makes it actually a very key point. We might think that's who would even argue that? But people have argued that. That's why when Jesus raised from the dead, one of the things he did, say, hey, come here. Go ahead, you touch me. Hey, bring me some food. He ate, didn't he? This is not just a spiritual thing. Now, it's tremendous, has tremendous spiritual significance. But apart from a physical crucifixion and resurrection, we can't get into that spiritual holy of holies. We can't believe, we can't see that in that realm unless it happened physically. And so Jesus did come in the flesh. Yes, he really did die on the cross. Yes, he really did bleed. Yes, that soldier did shove that spear in his side and outflowed blood and water. All those things are there. John throughout his letters, the gospel and his other ones, that is one thing he emphasizes. I have seen and borne witness. I am an eyewitness testimony. My hands touched this guy. My eyes beheld him. He was here in the flesh. Prophesied. And the incarnation of God. We know the verses teach that early on, proving that the Bible is the Word of God. Those prophecies that Jesus is going to be God came in the flesh. Confirmed throughout the entire New Testament. John 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Great, and by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm not going to be able to get the rest of that right. He who was, part of it was revealed in the flesh. Okay? It's actually a great verse. I should be able to quote it, but mine's not there tonight. So, many reasons a person may wish to deny Jesus coming in the flesh. We hit the big one. But I think some want to admit, dismiss Jesus in the flesh. This is people that don't claim to be Christians. They want to deny their need for a Savior. You take any sinner who knows nothing about the Bible and you sit them down and you show them the passion of the Christ, they got a problem. It's bothersome to them. Who is this guy and why did he do that? I mean, they know. Is my point. They know. I'm trying to avoid that. They don't want to come face to face with this thing that's been pounding around inside there called sin and guilt of that sin. And some people want to dismiss Jesus in the flesh. Even better if they'd read the Gospels instead of watching the Passion. But it does come through in that. Others prefer to worship a God of their own imagination. A lot of people are like, I follow God. Don't we all worship the same God? That's the big push out there right now. All these religions, we all worship the same God. We're all trying to get to the same place. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I love the Gospel of John because Jesus gets in all these conversations. And you see the dialogue. Now, in John chapter 8, I don't remember if I have... Yeah, I do have it in here. John chapter 8, verse 42. I love this particular dialogue. Jesus says to them in verse 42 of John 8, "If God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word." Nobody can try to tell you that they believe in the same God and don't love Jesus. That's why they're trying to deny Jesus actually coming as God in the flesh. Because they don't want to follow this guy. They want to follow a God of their own imagination. Our God is real, guys. And He communicated Himself. And He is God. Says this is the way things are. We don't get to call the shots. And then most so-called Christians subtly deny Jesus' incarnation because they want to excuse their lack of living, their lack of walking like He did while on earth. 1 Peter 2 talks about those footsteps of Jesus. All right, verse 6 of 2 John. He says, "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments." What are the commandments He's talking about here? Those pretty well sum it up, don't they? Okay? Those ones sum them up. And that's what John's theme throughout that is always love. That's real love. And he goes a little bit further to clarify in case we don't know what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. How about love others the way I have loved you? Just in case we can't quite see that played out right. Because some people apparently don't love themselves enough to do the right thing for themselves. So Jesus says, love other people the way I loved you. A couple other ones throughout scriptures that show up. Believe. This is my commandment, you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We saw one from earlier here in 2 John. Verse 4. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, says that the Lord's commandment, the things that Paul was writing to them, were the Lord's commandment. So basically, the apostles' teaching, guys, those are the Lord's commandments are in there. How about 2 Peter 2:21? It talks about people that fall away, right? Turned away from the holy commandment. That's just the way. This highway of holiness. They've turned away from that. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 talks about the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoken by the apostles. I think we summed it up. But I think the key are the ones Michael talked about. Hey, those are the ones that John really hits in Scripture. Says everything else is summed up in those. Okay? What was the major point of the letter? I think we kind of caught this earlier. But I think it's summed up in verse 8. John wanted these Christians to continue to press on for the truth in the midst of the building deception and pressure of Gnosticism. This is a good lesson, guys, for all of us Christians. We got to keep moving forward for the sake of the truth. We got to be on guard. It says, watch yourselves, right? Watch yourselves. That reminded me, popped into my mind, time Jesus says, keep watching and praying. You do not enter into temptation. Be on guard. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got to be on guard. We've got to watch ourselves. The time we let our guard down, that flesh is going to take the upper hand, isn't it? Okay. So, we've got to watch ourselves. Stay in this. We don't want to, in a moment of weakness, lose everything we've accomplished in our Christian walk. I kind of hit that earlier. Okay. I already kind of preached to you on that part, but we gain that ground. Okay. We will not give it back. We're going to press on. We receive the full reward of victory. So what can the modern Christian reader learn from this letter? Well, I think we've already learned a lot. Just hit a few things. We can learn there's an inseparable connection between truth and love. Verses 1 through 3, those things are joined together. The world's got a funny view of love. It actually really bothers me. Yeah. Yeah, whatever you feel. Exactly. Love's based on feeling. Just the whole concept of falling in love really bothers me. My dad says it this way, if you fall into love, you can fall out of love. Fall in nothing. Love is not, you don't fall into love. You make a decision. Hey, love is really a decision. And love doesn't mean that I'm going to pat you on the back while you're doing stuff wrong and say you're okay. Love does listen, and we want to help people. We want to meet people where they're at. But love does not rejoice with unrighteousness, does it? Love rejoices with the truth. You're not loving to tell somebody that they're okay and they're going to make it to heaven when they're on the road to hell. It's the least loving thing you can do. Now, there are some ways that we need to make sure we speak the truth in love. Okay. When we are telling some people that they're on the road to hell and they're in trouble, there's some ways to do that that communicate you actually care. But if you come across as a little bit uncaring, that's better off than lying to somebody. Mike. Yeah.
If your goal is to save man's soul, you don't have to worry about knowledge and inheritance.
Right.
Love that purpose. Yep. And that's our purpose. I always remember your dad taking Spanish speaking. That's all his over man. Because you don't go stomping up there between flailing your rod and the water. And then you approach it, you put that out there, so you have the best chance of catching fish. How about if we're saving souls? Don't we want to have the best opportunity for that? Now, yep. We go beat them up, we go flail the water. But what's our purpose behind it?
Yep. And my dad has no idea how to fish, but he does know how to fish for men. And that's a good point. Okay? I mean, and you see guys, I mean, sometimes some of us have been there. Maybe we're fresh out of the water. Maybe we're wanting to put on a show for the brethren. Watch this, guys. Boom, boom, boom. You know, let's pick a fight. Hey, what, you know, what are we trying to do here? Trying to catch the fish or not? Hey, are we trying to save somebody's soul? So it is a connection. That's why one of the things I wanted to bring that up. Truth is always connected in the Scripture with love. We're supposed to speak the truth. Love. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 talks about having kindness and truth bound around our neck. They're joined together. Okay? Wearing those all the time. Secondly, we can learn true Christianity is walking in truth and real love. Verses 4 through 6. Christianity isn't based on pretense. We saw this in 1 John. Because it's not about pretending. It's not about the good show. It's absolute commitment to truth. And one of the things that absolute commitment to truth forces us to be honest with ourselves while we're falling short and make the adjustments that need made to walk therein. Okay? So, this does include a sincere love of the brethren also. Verses 7 through 11. We need to resist and oppose false teachers. That's something we can learn. Mr. Love was talking to me before the Don Tool and Don Love and I were chatting, and one of the things Mr. Love said is that he thinks we're going to have some real problems from some of these churches around us in the years to come. I think he's right. Because you know what they want? They want to pretend like we're all on the same team. And all they want, they don't care what, they don't care if we preach immersion for remission of sins, as long as we say they're okay. Casey was telling me that that's one of the things that really made Lester Hall the most frustrated. Was there were a couple things, but one of them was I wouldn't call him brother, and the other is that I wouldn't call him pastor. I think I did call him a couple times, but most of the time I called him mister. He's not a true scriptural elder, not a pastor. What do those guys want? They want someone to pat them on the back and say, you're okay. That's what they're looking for. The Scripture is really clear. We have a responsibility to resist and oppose those guys. And whether it's the overt Gnosticism of John's day or any number of denominational falsehoods that are spread throughout our time, we have to take our stand in the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. We don't want to add to or take away from God's perfect revelation. Jared had alluded to this earlier. But it actually says anybody who goes too far. It's the guys that are adding to this. The Gnostics were adding to this, weren't they? A little special revelation. Hey, a lot of the denomination world's adding a bunch too. We know that the other scriptures talk about we don't want to take away from either. And somebody actually texted me a question today, which is great because that means they read, I know they actually read 2 John. They said, What does that mean, you know, about... how does he say that exactly here? I want to get this right. Verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him the greeting participates in his evil deeds. Does that mean you can't have a Mormon in your house or Jehovah's false witness in your house or... What it means is, if you remember when Jesus sent out the 70, and even when he sent out the 12, he sent them out two by two, and one of the things he says, when you go, okay, you go into the person's house, and if they receive you, like a greeting of peace, come on that house. If they're going to let you come in and support you and take care of you and feed you something and send you on your way with some encouragement, and hey, go for it. If they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Guys, we're not supposed to receive the false guys. Doesn't mean we don't Bible study with them. Doesn't mean that we can't have them in the house. It means we don't say, oh, thanks for coming over, brother. Oh, keep up your work over there. We're all in the same house, just different rooms.
They are.
They are. Okay? That house is going down. Okay? But that's what he's talking about. Okay? We do not support those. And that's the thing that I've found over and over again. The reason that people end up not liking us, it's not so much Well, how can you separate the thing? I was going to say, it's not so much what we preach. It's the implications of that. So if they're not preaching the truth, we're saying they're in trouble and they're on the road to hell and they don't like that. They just want you to say, we're okay. The Christian church guys, they've gone way wishy-washy. Wish-wash, slish-slosh. Christian church, you go into there, you can't tell if they believe immersion for remission of sins or not. What do they want you to... They just want, hey, yeah, we're all together. We're no, we're not. Scripture says don't receive these guys. Don't pat them on the back. Don't uphold them. Mike.
Thinking about the Pharisees, man. Johnny, what did they want? They believed Jesus. They didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue.
Yep.
But they love your true Lord.
Oh, man.
As the true Lord God.
Yep.
That is what it is. They want you to acknowledge, hey, you're okay.
Yep.
You know, they take a scripture guy like you, and they want you to come.
Yep, they do. Yep. They want to be able to. They want me to pat them on the back, and then they'll pat mine, and we'll all. And the script says, "Don't do that." All right, I got to wrap it up here. We're over. One final thing: we need to remember that we're in the same family of God as other congregations throughout the world who worship God in spirit and truth. In other words, other true congregations, those people we do want to receive. Those who want to remember we're in the same family. He says at the end of this, the children of your chosen sister greet you. There is teamwork in the body of Christ outside of, you know, just a congregational setting, isn't there? Julie and I were in Great Falls on Lord's Day. That was encouragement. Encouraging to me, encouraging to them. Sorry guys, I know I was going to try to invite a few of you, but I wanted to invite Julie this time instead, so sorry. But it's, you know, it's fun. It's encouragement. Okay? And family camp, those things are encouraging. The peak's coming up. Those things are encouraging. And I encourage you, make a commitment to be there if at all possible. I'm gonna give the loves they get a freebie on that one. Okay? They're getting to the point they can't do that kind of stuff. You guys are okay. You man the fort here. Mr. Hopper, getting, I know it hurts. So if you get a chance to come up for a day, that'd be great. But the rest of us, you know, if at all possible, guys, we need to be there. And I know sometimes our bosses don't let us. I know sometimes we have to choose. And I think if I recall, Mr. Schaefer actually had to use up his time already for New Zealand stuff. So I understand those sorts of things can happen. We got to prioritize. But to whatever extent we can be there, we need to. Do you think the congregation in Billings, it's an encouragement for the other congregations to see the growth and to see the new people and meet new people? And wow, this thing's going. And I get the same thing from them. You know, hey, from Missoula, I've never met, it's been too long since I've been to congregation Missoula. I don't even know these guys. Yeah, those things are encouraging. And so, remember, we are all on the same team that way. All right, extra thoughts from the Saints and Billings. I guess you have to write those guys down on your own time. We got a few good ones in, though, from each other. All right. Prayer requests.